Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Thanks, Andrew. I think I'm just going to let him preach. That was awesome. Great to be with you. If you don't know me, my name is Aaron Varner. I have the great privilege of being the lead pastor here. Good to be back with you. Appreciate Steve last week, Steve Oswald, who preached, brought the word. Steve is Word of Life man. He's been doing Word of Life for 27 years. And just a dear friend, dear faithful servant of the Lord. And Steve, to have him come and share the word with you, I hope you were encouraged. A few of you have shared that you miss me. That's nice. Least a few. So I always figure if a few miss me, that's better than none. So now we were down in Tennessee. A group of us went down and we ministered to a group of about 48 children, missionary children that came, missionaries with ABWE, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. Those missionaries, while they're on furlough, every 2 years, there's what's called a missionary enrichment conference. And so they have that time together as missionaries where they get strengthened and encouraged, where they have some breakout sessions, but have main sessions too, where they gather. So while all that's going on, we have the children. And so we had 40-some children and in a room that was roughly from that pillar to this pillar to me, about that big, and it was a lot of fun. Thankfully, the Lord opened up so that we could have another area, the loft, so that we could play games and be loud and rambunctious, and we just had an absolute blast. These children were just sweet. They were just a joy to be with. We'll share a little bit more in a few weeks. Along with our ladies who went on our Portugal trip and along with those who went on our Canada trip, we're kind of waiting until the month of August in order to share some of those, so you'll be hearing in the next few weeks about those. But thank you for your prayers, for those who prayed for us on our trip. We really had a safe trip down, a safe trip back, and just had a great, great time. And realize, again, I am not as young as I once was. So, running all day long, and then you get up the next morning, and here we go. And even my daughter, when she got home, Lene was like, "Dad, kind of lost your voice, did you?" And she's like, "Welcome to camp," you know, like screaming at kids. It's great to be back. It's great to be in the Word. If you have your Bible, if you would open it up, please, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll continue our series here. Today is part 2. Of really a few parts of walking worthy of our calling, walking worthy of our calling. And so we'll look at verses 4 through 16 this morning. Two weeks ago, I shared with you about what the first three verses look like. I even gave you a really cool illustration where we all stood up. Remember when you all, if you were here and we had this rope that went around and we talked about how important that we were together, bonded as the body. Before we start this morning, I want to go to our key verse for the year as we share this. And I would love for you, if you would, why don't you stand with me and we'll read our text in Ephesians after we read this verse together. So if you would, stand and we'll read this, Romans 12:5 together. "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individual members one of another." Romans 12:5. My Siri went off. How does that happen? Anyway, Ephesians chapter 4. Follow along with me. It'll be up on the screen as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 16. "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain it to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can read your word and for the freedoms that we have in this country to be able to gather in this place and to talk about your word freely, openly. And we pray that your spirit would use this time in our minds and in our hearts to draw us closer to you, Lord. We need you to meet with us. We need your spirit working in our midst, working in our hearts, working in us. And so, Lord, now I pray that you would do your work in us. As you stand there, congregation, bowed, your head bowed, and as you're talking to the Lord, would you allow God access to your heart to say, Lord, I'm giving you permission to come into my heart and to work in it. Challenge me, mold me, help me to see the truths of your word. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that you offer through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, each one of us fail, we sin, we miss the mark of perfection. You are perfect, Lord, we are not. And because of that, we need your grace, we need your forgiveness, we need your love. Thank you for pouring out your love towards us, that even while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. We confess our sin, coming to you, admitting that we fall short, asking you to please forgive us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us. And again, may your spirit do a great work in us, even this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I need a couple helpers. One. Will, you want to come? Why don't you guys come on up here? I love it. Millie, how are you today? Good. Has your brother been nice to you? Yeah, that's good. And this is Will. Will is expecting a baby sister, right?
Yep.
All right, man. So this shouldn't be too hard. You guys know what this is?
Puzzle piece.
Puzzle? Puzzle pieces. You've seen these before. You know how to do these? Yeah, you just kind of take them and throw them, right? Play catch with people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that what we do? No, probably not. So, why are you laughing, Millie? So, can you guys put this puzzle together for me? I'm going to talk for a little bit, but you guys keep going about building this puzzle. You can build it right here. Okay, can you guys do that?
Sure.
All right, you guys work together. You guys build the puzzle. For those of you who have ADHD, you can follow them. Everybody else, you can follow along here as we walk through our text. As we think about this, Paul is building upon what we've kind of already covered, that we walk, in verse 1 of chapter 4, that we walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And how do we do that? We looked at that 2 weeks ago with humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, or as I said, as one commentator said, just putting up with one another, right? Like that's important to do because sometimes that's hard to do. But we do that in love. And then notice verse 3 there, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there is one body, one Spirit. As Paul goes on, he's going to mention this idea of unity, and how he's going to show this unity is by the word one, all right? The hope that we have, the unity, not division, but bringing together the body of Christ, here we are as one. And so as we see this, we see that there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in the one hope that belongs to your call. Now, I don't know if you write in your Bible. I will just tell you that it's not evil if you circle or underline. It's okay to write in your Bible. It is just pages and ink, but it is God's word. Power comes from the words. But if you would, maybe you need to circle a couple words here. In verse 1, you see calling and called in verse 1, but then you also see it again in verse 4, just as you were called in the one hope that belongs to your call. So here's a reminder Paul is saying in verse 1, but then he's also going to say, hey, listen, there's something about living and walking in a manner worthy of that call. And so he helps bring before us this idea of walking in a manner worthy of what this call is. Andrew shared with us, he challenged us, this idea of salvation, that salvation has been brought to you and I. At the very end, I'm going to share a statement that I think is very powerful as I was praying through and thinking through about how salvation is the foundation of where we get to where we are about looking at our calling. The calling begins at salvation. And so when we look at this, ultimately, it's what Paul says in verse 15 here, that we would mature. He said, I want you to grow up in every way. And so how do we grow up? How do we walk in a manner worthy of this calling? Well, it's using the gifts that God's given us. Ultimately, when we look at this passage, we see that how we are supposed to be leveraging each of our gifts for ultimately the growth of the body. So many people look at spiritual gifts and it's about them. It's about them individually. And that's not what Paul's saying. In our context, our calling has to do with uniting the body. It's the same as our theme that we talked about this whole year, that it is about one another. It's about there are many members, but one body. And so when you look around one another here and we see how we gather together, this is the body of Christ, those who place their faith in Jesus. This is the living organism that God says, I want to work through you. And so I'm going to give you my grace and I'm going to give you gifts to use. And so ultimately, the goal here that Paul is saying is, I want you to mature. I want you to grow up. I want you to look more like Jesus in your calling, which we know that means ultimately walking closer with Jesus. Again, the church is not to be a holy huddle secluded from the world. No, we're gathered. Actually, we're gathered now. And as we are challenged by God's word, we're challenged to go out and going from this huddle to go out and run the play. Football season's getting ready to start, right? And when you come into the huddle and the play is called in, you're in the huddle and you're like, okay, what's the play? And you know, you don't go to the quarterback as the quarterback calls the play and say, man, you did a great job of calling that play. No, the play came from the coach, from the sidelines. The quarterback just communicated it clearly. And then the team went out and each person had to execute their part of the play. That's what we need to do as the body of Christ. When you think about how God's gifted us and what we're going to look at here, we don't stay in this holy huddle together. No, we huddle, we worship the Lord, we get word from Him, and then we go out and we say, how can I execute this play? How can I live out my life? Some of you say, oh, Pastor, that was such a great message. But then you go out and you don't run the play. You don't do it. Good job, guys. What's wrong? You're missing a piece. Did somebody eat it?
Not a cookie.
Not a cookie. It's not a cookie. No, it's not a cookie. Unfortunately, guys, you couldn't finish it, right? Because you're missing something. Yeah. What are we going to do? Millie, what do you think we should do? It's just not finished. Maybe we should put it all back together, put it back in the bin, and then take it out and try it again. Maybe it'll show up. You think that'll do it?
Sure.
All right, try it. Go ahead. Put them all back in there, and then you guys let me know how it goes, okay? I'm going to keep talking. You guys are doing a great job. Sure. Sure. When we look at this idea, the one body, the body of Christ, right? This is not just West Till. This is one body globally, right? It's something that we can't see. It's universal, right? But we know it's there. Everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is part of this body of Christ across the globe. We know that there's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that ultimately is at work in the lives of each of us. Do you guys get them all put away? You put them back in the bucket? Yeah? Okay. Keep working at it. Good job. There's one hope. Think about that. What kind of hope do you guys have? What do you place your hope in? Who's your hope in? The decisions that you make every day and where you get discouraged or frustrated or mad or upset, is it because your hope may not be on that one hope that Paul says? He says, one Lord. This is actually the only place in this text in Ephesians where Lord is separate, where it's just Lord, not Lord Jesus Christ. It's just Lord, and ultimately referring to Jesus, but I think it emphasizes there is one Lord of our life, one King, one ruler, one faith. We can't have faith in a lot of other things. It's just one. And ultimately, we know the text tells us that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There aren't many ways. There's one way, and that's through faith. One baptism. Some will speculate and say, is this talking about, you know, do we immerse? Do we sprinkle? Do we go forward in baptism? Do we go backwards? Maybe we need to go three times. Maybe once is enough. I don't think this text is telling us about the actual water baptism. I think this is the baptism that comes through our faith in Jesus Christ, the baptism that Paul talks about in some other texts, a baptism into the Spirit when our heart is changed. One God and Father. There's not many gods, there's one. All of this is what? Verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace. Some people will look at this and say, okay, when we start looking at the gifts that we're going to look at here, oh, well, I didn't get a very big measure of God's grace because I don't have a very important gift. And yeah, I just want to remind you, if you there are there in their text, look over Ephesians 1, verse 8. When we think about the measure of Christ's gift, of his grace, notice what Paul's already written for us about this idea of God showing us his grace. Because in verse 7, he says at the end of verse 7, according to the riches of his grace, verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He lavished, meaning he poured it out like a lot. Like, kind of like how you want a bowl of ice cream. You don't want just a little bit. You want a lot of it. Well, at least for me. Or one donut. Or on the way down to Tennessee, we had some pastries. that were left over from the funeral dinner, and there was a bag of pastries in each vehicle. Well, if the pastries are there, you got to eat them, right? And needless to say, our team made fun of me all week for the amount of pastries that I ate. So we didn't need to mention any numbers. I just want to remind you, because there's some people who say, oh, maybe God's grace is not lavished upon me. No, it has been. God's grace and his gifting of you, don't look at it in a smallness, look at it in a bigness, that God loves you that much. Guys, how are we doing down here?
Again,
what happened? It's missing. So putting it back in the bin and starting over didn't work. What are we going to do now? Will, you're so distraught. It's hard. It's frustrating, right? It's so frustrating when we don't have all the pieces. If we only had all the pieces, then we could finish the puzzle. Is this the piece that you're missing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would it help if you had this piece? Yeah. You want to see if it fits in there?
Sure,
let's get it, man. Look at that. Good job. Thanks, guys. You can return back to your seats. I appreciate it. We're going to talk more about that in just a little bit and how important every piece is. But as we look at this, when we look at our spiritual gifts, it's the grace of God that's been given to us. That's where the gifts come from. I'm not going to go into great detail about the next couple verses in verse 8 about how Paul is describing from Psalm 68, verse 18. You might want to write that in there. Paul is quoting from the Psalms. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Interesting, when you look at the Hebrew and then here in the Greek, Psalms is written in Hebrew and then Paul is writing in Greek. Paul actually adjusts the Hebrew a little bit, and it's interesting because of how he does it. He's quoting to help us to see God giving gifts to men. The gifts that we have come from God himself. And again, not going to get into the parentheses here a lot of verse 9 and verse 10 about how he ascended or descended, mainly just to say my take on this is that ultimately God sent his son Jesus. Jesus left heaven and he came to earth. He descended to earth. All right. He came to live amongst us, you and me. That's when we celebrate Christmas. And do you realize Christmas is coming quickly? Right? Leah's like, yes. Kaylee, you're like, it's quickly. And so here we celebrate Christmas, Jesus coming to earth. He descended. Right? We know that ultimately Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. Then he died on a cross, was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. We celebrate that at Easter, right? Easter's a little bit farther away, but we celebrate every year Easter, the Resurrection Sunday. And then after Jesus raises from the dead, he appears to over 500 people, and then he ascends as he gives and commissions his apostles, his disciples, the leaders, he commissions them, and then he ascends into heaven. Descends and then ascends, and then we know he's coming back one day. The book of Revelation talks about how he will come, and he will come as he went in a cloud. And so this ascension and descension, don't get hung up on it. It's not Paul's main focus here. What it is it's once again a reminder to us that God loves us that much that he would show us grace coming in the form of his son Jesus, that Jesus would die for us and that he would give his life and ultimately raise from the dead and that he would ascend back into heaven because he is Lord over all things and that ultimately we look forward to his return. And until his return, We're supposed to be walking in a manner worthy of his calling. Ultimately, what Paul is saying here is, I want you to mature. When he talks about then these giving, these grace gifts, we see in verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. This is not Paul's exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. If you want to look and see about spiritual gifts, you can look in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. You can also look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 14. Spiritual gifts are grace that's been given by God to each of us. Now, often, a lot of people want to know two things about spiritual gifts. First, they want to know what. What is a spiritual gift, or what gift do I have? And secondly, why did God give it to me? Those are not bad questions to ask. But I just want to remind you, it boils down to this. God made you for something, and it's God intended and God empowered. So what God has made you for, he is going to equip you for. It's his grace that he's showing you. Oftentimes, spiritual gifts are focused around, again, maybe you've taken the test where you fill in the blanks. We even do that in our new membership class where you kind of fill out and you kind of put a number next to it. I love J.D. Greer as he talks about his wife taking one of those tests, and her outcome was celibacy. And he's like, I do not like that test anymore. And so when we think about the tests, they're not wrong or bad. But let me give you quickly just three things that I think may help you as you think about your spiritual gift. Number one, when you think about your ability, what ability do you have that God's given you? All right. And then secondly, what are you passionate about? What do you get excited for? What lights that fire under you that when you wake up and you can't help but to think about that passion, that burning inside of you? And then the third part of that is, what's affirmed? What do people around you see that they would say, you know what? I see that you're really good at doing this. You're really gifted. You have the ability to do this really well. And so I think sometimes, again, it's about, we focus sometimes so much about getting the finite part of what gift do I have so I can give it a label. Let me just help you to see it as this. It's a gift. God's given you a grace gift, and every one of you, he has given to you. Grace, verse 7, grace was given to each one of us. You say, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Start examining and looking at your life. What are your abilities? What are you passionate about? And then what have other people say that you're really good at? Use that. What's interesting is we all share the same calling that Paul talks about here. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. We all share the same calling on the way to the same destination. I hope your destination is heaven. Amen? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've trusted him to forgive you of your sin, to be your Lord, then your destination is heaven. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, you do not have that hope. That hope only comes through Jesus. Now today you can accept that hope. But nobody else can make that decision except for you. You have to claim Jesus as your Savior, to ask him to forgive you of your sin and to come into your life and be your Lord. You can do that right where you sit. And if you do that, when you do that, you have a higher calling than the rest of this world. A calling that comes from God, and a calling that ultimately leads to a destination. That destination is to be in the presence of our Savior forever. We are the recipients of grace. When we look at this, it's people who receive these gifts, thus making them gifts to the church. People are gifts to the church. Now, some of you say, well, there's some people I would say are gifts. Other people are not gifts. Well, I'll let you determine who is and who isn't, right? No, we don't get to make that choice. Ultimately, it's God who gives us these grace gifts, and because we are recipients of grace, we are gifts to one another in church. Look at verse 7 and verse 11. When we look at verse 11 and moving to verse 16, we see that in the Greek, verse 11 through 16 is all one long sentence. Again, Paul's very good at this. That's why I wish he was my English teacher back in the day. Him and I would have got along really, really well. When you look at this, Paul is trying to make a point. All of this fits together. And so when we look at verse 11, he starts listing these, a few of these gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, those are actually combined together, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. These gifts were given so that the saints would be equipped to do the work, ultimately for the building up of the body of Christ. What's interesting here is when I became a pastor, my work became different. My job is to help equip you to do the work of the ministry. Now, some people look at the pastor in different ways. And let me clearly say that it is not my job to do the work of the ministry. According to this text, my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So why is it that it's the pastor's job to go on visitation? Why is it the pastor's job to make sure that people are happy? I'm not here to scold you. I'm just here to say, look at the text. And what is your role and how God gives grace gifts to each one of us? My role is pretty clear here, and my role is to help you do the work of the ministry. Remember the huddle that I talked about earlier, the holy huddle? If we just stay here and you're like, great sermon, Pastor, that was great. Now you better go out and visit my grandmother. Or you better go do this, or you better make sure this get. No. Here's the play, and we're going to run it, we're going to execute it, and it takes every one of us in order to do it. So when we see that, ultimately, we gather and we use our gifts for the building up of the body. It's not the individual members. The body of Christ comes together to build each other up. Until, verse 13, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that, why is it important for us to mature? Why is it important for us to grow up? Well, Paul and Peter both write several times in their letters in the New Testament of maturing, of growing up. And why is that crucial? Well, Paul tells us here, right here, why that's important. So that we may no longer, verse 14, be children tossed to and fro by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Meaning you can be deceived. And that there will be times in our lives, unless we mature, we can easily be carried away. Carried away from what? From the Word of God. From the truth of God's Word. And so our gifts that we've been given is for the building up of the body so that we would be united together, growing in the truth. As I looked at this passage, I found it's really like this. You walk worthy in this, in your life, first of all. Where is your life found? I hope it's found in Jesus. I would hope that you would say the most important thing in your life is Jesus Christ. Second, it's found in your calling. You walk worthy in a calling, and this calling says, man, I have been saved by God's grace. I have this responsibility to walk in this way. God's called me his child. I'm a child of God because of what Jesus did. Not because I did it, but because I accepted this gift. And third, your community. We're walking worthy because our community depends on it. Our community, every one of us, is an important part. It's much like a puzzle putting together with missing a piece. Some of you may be the missing piece of what our community needs, what this body of Christ needs, what the community out there needs. They need to see you using your gifts, using your abilities, using your life. Because you're following the calling that God's placed on you. Now, there's some enemies, as we see here, even in verse 14. What Paul is trying to say is, listen, I want to speak the truth in love. We are to grow up, in verse 15, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. One of the things I'd encourage you to do is maybe read through the text of Ephesians this week. Read through each chapter, and as you do, maybe you want to circle the word truth. And maybe you want to underline or box out the word love. You will see over and over again Paul's emphasis about truth and love. It reminds me about how when Jesus came, when John writes about Jesus coming in the fullness of God, Jesus came in the fullness of both grace and truth. It's how we're to live. But we have some enemies that are against us, right? And a couple of those enemies is, number one, is pride or ego. As we pursue walking worthy of the calling that God has called us to, your pride, my pride, our ego, our self gets in the way, right? Has that happened to you before? Of course it does. Why do you argue and bicker? Because you're selfish. Because I'm selfish. I like my way. How many of you would admit that you like your way of living? You want it your way. Thank you, Luke. We like it that way. And yet, that's not what God's calling us to. It's not about my ego. It's not about what I want and what I desire and I need to have it. That doesn't help build the body up. No, that's an enemy. And we see that pride and ego often will destroy the body of Christ, the oneness. That doesn't mean we all have to agree. We can disagree and still be loving and kind. You may not like the color of these chairs, and that's okay. You may not like these lights. You might not like that song. You might not like that prayer. You might not like what that person is wearing. And that's all okay. But do you love those people? Do you love Jesus? Are you willing to get past whatever ego and pride and self? The second enemy is immaturity. Notice what Paul is writing. His whole emphasis about this calling is maturing, of growing up. An enemy that you have in your life is you are immature. I can say that because I'm still immature. Really, there's still a youth pastor inside of me. One of the greatest compliments that I got this week was from Aaron Bullard, where Aaron says to me, he's like, you know, I never really got to saw the youth pastor, Pastor Aaron. And he's like, I got to see it this week with you with the kids. And he's like, I really like it. I'm like, yeah. I always say I got demoted to the adults back in 2005. I love being a kid, but part of being a kid is you're still immature, right? And that's part of that enemy. We have to continue to keep striving to be mature. It's not okay to be immature and to stay immature. Which then goes to our third, laziness. We live in a world that wants the easy way out, don't we? We want it just to happen. I throw in the popcorn in the microwave, and in 3 minutes and 50 seconds, it comes out popped and ready for me. It's hot. It's already salted, buttered. All I have to do is open it up and not burn my fingers. We live in a world that wants instant gratification, and it has infiltrated into the church. And it's not right. Laziness contributes to that. And if I'm honest, and if you're honest, we have times where we're very lazy. No amens for that one. Our lives are but a vapor. And instead of maxing out your time in front of a screen, swiping through, take a break from that. Set some boundaries. Be purposeful. Because here's some supporters, some things that are going to help us as we think about using the grace gifts that God has given us for the building up of the body. The first supporter is grace. Do you know what grace is? Do you know what grace has been shown to you? I always love reading those Old Testament stories of how God in his vengeance and his wrath just strikes somebody dead on the spot, right? When they do something evil, I love the story where these men oppose God and Moses, and then God, like, the earth opens up and they all go in and it closes, and it's like, yeah, they deserve that. Because I never see myself that way. But when we look at it, like, we've been shown grace, haven't we? Because the truth is, we're all sinners. That's the amazing thing about God's grace and his salvation, that you and I all start on the same level field. We're all enemies in opposition of God. And yet God shows his grace towards us. And that he would offer his son Jesus, and his spirit would do a work in our minds and in our hearts, that we would see our need for Jesus, and that we could call out to God and say, Lord, please forgive me. That's grace. That we could be forgiven. Not once, not twice, because I know you all, we've been forgiven a lot, amen? Remember God's grace. The second is this: valuing people and valuing God's gifts. It's God who gives it. And when we value what God gives, it changes our perspective. When we see throughout the text about how God, this is a measure of his grace that he pours out so that the body can be united together, so that we can grow up. God has given the people and the gifts in this church so that we will grow together. And when you can see people and their gifts as valued, it changes your perspective. Instead of looking at them as, oh, they're like that. Oh, I am so tired of them. Oh, they so need to get over themselves. Which goes back to our ego. Our pride. How do you view people? How do you view people that God has given grace to? They're supporters. That's how God's word tells us we should look at people. The third supporter is this: growing in truth. Just a little bit ago, I challenged us to think about how lazy we are. Grow in truth. When you get to the end of your life, will you look back and say, man, I grew so much in the Lord. And this was the time in my life where it really took root. Right now, you can make that decision. Right now, you can make the decision to make priority your growth in the truth. Paul says, what's going to help you be united as the body of Christ is growing in the truth. Loving one another comes from growing in the truth. If you don't know the word, you can't love people. Not the way that God loves people. We grow in the truth. We need to mature. Just as we saw with the puzzle, I believe God has greatly gifted us here at West Hill Baptist Church. He's given us a lot of wonderful people who are striving to grow in their faith and their love for Jesus. And yet there are some who are like the missing puzzle piece. You come, you show up at certain points, at certain times, but you're not using the grace gift that God's given you. And I want to encourage you to be a part of the puzzle. Because the puzzle needs you. The puzzle works best when it has all of its pieces. Paul writes about the body, when the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. God has equipped us with everything that we need. And it's in you, each of you. Not all of you are a hand. Not all of you are an eye. Not all of you are a finger. I'm probably a fingernail. Hopefully it doesn't have fungus under it. You are an important part of this body. Get plugged in. Use the grace gift that God has given you, and you will learn to use that as you gather and join together with people. And we value people because we need them. You may not always want them, but we need them. Because that's the way God did it. I didn't come up with that. God did. Here's my phrase for you as you walk away. If, goes back to what Andrew prayed. If salvation is so great, live by it. If you would say salvation is so awesome and so great, are you living by it? Because this text tells me it's not about perfectionism, but it's about living a life that is shaped in the proper view of salvation. This text tells me that I walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And the calling is God's called me his child. And he's called us the body of Christ. And he wants us to work together. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. We thank you that we can each know with confidence that you have gifted each of us with your grace, and you've gifted each of us with a gift. Lord, help us to continue to walk with you, to strive to know you more, to grow up in our faith, in our maturity, so that we can't be easily swept away, so that the body of Christ may be full and complete, and we can do all that you are desiring to do through us. And yet, Lord, as we have been reminded here this morning, every piece is important. So help us to take seriously the pursuit of knowing you more and fully engaging in this body that you've gifted us with. We look forward to all that you're going to continue to do. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your mercy. And I pray that your Spirit would continue to stir us and draw us closer, that we may look more like Jesus every day of our life. More of Jesus, that's what we need. And so as we continue to serve you as the body of Christ, Lord, may you use us for your kingdom, for your glory, walking in a manner worthy of the calling that you've called us to. Because we have that one hope. The hope of eternal life with you. The hope that we have your peace each day we walk in this journey. The hope that we're not alone, but you've given us many members of this one body. So I pray, Lord, that you would encourage each one as they go from here, as they go and live out their lives, as we execute the play from this huddle. Lord, help us to not be lazy. Help us not to have our lives focused on us, about ourselves. Help us not to give excuses of why we stay immature, but Lord, help us to grow up. Help us to be fervent and to take action to grow in your word, in the truth, that we may know what the truth is and that we may live by the truth, pursuing you, loving each other. And so we pray for your blessing as we leave from here. May your kingdom grow because of your Spirit's work in us and through us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week. The Lord bless you.